WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and plenty of surveys have been done on the sex lives of young people, but it's only recently that researchers have looked into the sexual activity of older Americans. A recent survey by the National Social Life, Health, and Aging Project asked Americans age 57 to 85 about their sex lives, among other things, with some surprising results. And with us is Edward Lauman, professor of sociology at the University of Chicago, one of the main researchers for the project. He joins us now. Dr. Lauman, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you.
And let's dive right into one of the particular findings of the survey. One stat that jumps out at me has to do with the question on the number of same-sex partners.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm reading this properly, among men age 65 to 74, about 5% report having had a same-sex sexual partner at any point in their lives.
Right.
The group immediately younger, age 57 to 64, reports 3% having had a same-sex partner. And the oldest group, 75 to 85, 2% report having had a same-sex partner. So it sounds like the biggest group of, that group most likely to have had any same-sex male contact is not the youngest group, but the middle group, the 65 to 74, is at about 5%. Why might that be?
Well, I think first we have to worry a bit about the size of the samples that are used to estimate this. There's about 3,000 people in the total sample, and about half of them are women, so we're talking about 1,500 or 1,400 men. And then if you divide them into the three decades of age here, you're looking at about 500 people. So variations of what really are about a point apiece probably are not something I would, make a big theory about.
So you don't think the prevalence of homosexual activity may have gone up for a certain part of a generation and then gone back down?
Well, it's sort of unlikely to be a trend of that kind. I think it's worth thinking about that these are three different cohorts, that the oldest cohort, the 75 to 84, were born in the 1920s. 1925 would be the midpoint. And then the group that you're interested in, the 65 to 74, were born in the 30s, 35, 1935, the midpoint. And then the youngest group were born just after the war and really are the group that came of age at the time of the sexual revolution. So you would have expected that the liberalization of sexual taboos and so on would have expressed themselves perhaps a little bit more straightforwardly in the younger group.
So you're saying maybe it's just not a big enough sample, but we're seeing that the baby boomers, who you just referred to, seem to have a little bit less gay sex than the war babies, which would be a surprise. And the same curve existed among women, where 7% of the 1940s births had reported any same-sex contact in their lifetime.
And then a bump up for the middle group, yeah.
Yeah, that is the middle group, right?
Right.
The bump up. For those born in the 1930s, I guess, the bump up. And so again, and slightly more women than men. Is that consistent with other findings of sexuality?
Well, you know, we haven't been able to monitor this very well on large representative samples in our earlier work, which looked at people in the age range 18 to 59, and this is essentially the companion study of that. Women were somewhat less likely to, about a point or so smaller, lower in their likelihood of engaging in same gender sex in their lifetime than men, who were about 3%. So the fact that these are somewhat more elevated, you could argue that these are older people who have had more opportunity, let us say. Women in particular are subject to a very different selection effect. As you may have noticed in another part of the table, women are substantially, and particularly in the oldest group, are substantially less likely to have partners at all. And this is due to the widowhood effect. And men are very much more likely to be in a marital relationship for about the same size throughout their last three decades of life. And part of the effect problem here in looking at sort of comparing just women and men by age is that you're looking at somewhat different sets of situations. Namely, men tend to be marrying younger women, and women are, of course, then married to older men who are likely to be sicker and are more likely to die. Mm-hmm. And so there's a complicated interaction between, you know, their sexual expression and their opportunity, given the ability of the partner to engage in it.
Right.
Older men are particularly much more likely to suffer from sexual difficulties of erectile dysfunction. It runs up to about 45% in that oldest group, compared to about 30% in the younger group. So there's a lot of stuff going on in this when you're just looking at gender and age, and the pairing is involved in how is marital choice occurring, and you know by younger men and or older men and younger women and that sort of thing.
My guest on WNYC is Edward Lauman, professor of sociology at the University of Chicago, one of the main researchers for the National Social Life, Health, and Aging Project, which asked Americans age 57 to 85 about their sex lives, among other things. He's an expert in sexuality research. And we can take a few phone calls for him at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, on sexuality in older adults. Another number that jumped out at me was how different the oldest groups of men and women were with respect to how important they said sex was to him. So among men 75 or older, 25% said that sex was not an important part of life.
Right.
And twice that many, 52% of women in that age group said sex is not an important part of life.
Right.
So even at that age group, mm-hmm. men are twice as likely to consider sex as important than women are.
Well, yes, that sort of ratio of 2-to-1 relative interest is played out in a lot of different measures we have among younger men and women as well as this group. Part of the issue again here for the older women is that a large percentage of those women don't have partners at all. So when they're reporting that sex is not important, it's simply that there is no opportunity. Obviously, there might be some defenses about not thinking about something you can't
right.
have, as it were.
Right.
So that's one reason why that number jumps up so high. In general, when men and women are in partnerships, women have slightly, substantially lower interest in sex than men relative to men. But it's it's still a much higher number than that 52 number that you quoted for this oldest group.
Jim in the Bronx has a question about the gay sex findings. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a possible explanation as to why older people might have had more gay, same-sex activity than younger ones. Same-sex activity was not defined as part of an identity with the word gay until the 60s. It was much more fluid, and therefore a lot of men had more opportunity, weren't labeled by simply the fact that they had some degree of same-sex activity. That doesn't happen until the gay liberation movement in the 60s. That's why younger people define same-sex activity as an identity rather than just as a behavior.
Do you agree, Professor Laumann?
Well, I think that's a very good observation, although the numbers we're looking at is that same-gender sex was, in fact, lowest in this oldest group, and was the bump is in the 65 to 75 group. The oldest group definitely was working with a very different sexual dispensation, if you will. There was they were much more likely, for example, to report their first sexual experiences as being with a prostitute or someone they paid for it, compared to younger people. So there's a whole bunch of comparisons that one could make that would suggest that people experience their sexual expression quite differently. And I think your observation is quite on the mark in terms of this change in self-consciousness about what self-labeling would be on this.
Can you identify as a sociologist particular generational moments or even historical events that seem to be reflected in the numbers? For instance, you pointed out to us before the show that for those born before World War II, a man's first sexual experience was often with a prostitute.
Right.
For boomers, that dropped to near zero.
Yeah, exactly right.
What's the story there?
Well, I think there was possibility of engaging in premarital sex was very a big deal in the earliest group. There was you simply did not, in dating, did not usually have sexual contact in this older group, so that men would often seek, because good girls didn't do this sort of thing, was the theory there. So there was quite a bit of normative change that occurs essentially in the wake of the Second World War with premarital sex. Probably one of the most rapid changes in attitudes occur in the post-war period with when we have asked survey over the time surveys about attitudes toward premarital sex. That number drops from sort of the high 70s in the early late 40s to a much lower number in the 30s in terms of disapproval of premarital sex. So there's a real change, a normative change in this period, for sure.
We're almost out of time. Do you have a sense of how early we set our attitudes towards sex? Is it at puberty? Is it in our early 20s? And how malleable are these over time? We see, for example, from the survey results that the older you are, the less liberal your attitudes toward adultery. When you ask women if they thought adultery is always wrong, 80% of the 80% of those born in the 1940s said it, 83% of those born in the 30s, and almost 90% of those born in the 20s. Those are all high numbers, disapproving of adultery.
Right.
But there's still some kind of curve there.
Right.
When are we imprinted with our sexual attitudes?
Well, I think there's no one has really been able to do very good work in finding a sort of the inflection point where these things happen. I've tended to sort of see 17, 18 is where the transition, first sexual experience occurs in the white population. The black population is a little lower, younger. But in general, so I would say in the late mid to late 20 teens is when your basic attitudes about sex take the strongest of shape.
Are there any public policy implications of your findings?
Well, one is that there's a substantially greater interest in sex than people tend to think. Many of us as younger people tend to see our parents as not doing it anymore or shouldn't be doing it anymore or whatever. And so there's a, our argument is that this is very much part of the quality of life, and that we needed to make it establish some baseline information that would establish that for healthy people, this is a very important part of their lives, and that one has to consider that as an important thing to help support. We might also point out that sexual expression is a canary in the wood shaft kind of thing, that when people begin failing in sexual interest, this is often a indicator of more substantial health issues, and that should trigger some a pretty strong investigation to see what's going on.
Edward Laumann, professor of sociology at the University of Chicago, one of the researchers for the National Social Life, Health, and Aging Project. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. And another conversation about generational change, in this case generational devolution, how to sew a button, and other skills your grandmother knew but you don't. Stay with us.